Now keep it open because I'm asking you questions. Mark 15. Question number one, what did we talk about? What did I preach on last Sunday morning, Wendy?
Loneliness.
The loneliness of Jesus Christ. At times he was incredibly lonely. So it's only fitting that now we look at another thing about Jesus this morning, and that is his, shame. Did Jesus know anything about shame? Because lots of people feel ashamed in Ogmore Vale, so how can Jesus speak into that situation? Now, I'm going to ask lots of random questions, which won't make any sense, but by the end they should make sense. Is this true? Some people go really, really quiet when they've been hurt by someone. They don't wear their heart on their sleeves. They go quiet when they get emotional. Is that right?
That in mind.
Some people, often women, wait for it, well, I haven't finished yet. You've agreed I haven't finished the sentence. Probably right. Some people, often women, talk a lot more when they're overtired. One of my sisters, if she's overtired, she doesn't stop talking. That's rubbish, says Angie. Right? Right, bear that in mind. When Mark, the author of this book, writes about an issue, his character comes out. Does he say a lot or doesn't he say much? We're going to find out in a minute. Right, embarrassing moments. Another random question. Have you ever had an embarrassing moment?
Yes.
Do you want to share, Wendy, or?
I can share one joke.
No, don't. Don't tell other people's embarrassing story. When I was little, I hugged a wrong woman thinking it was my mum. I got in the wrong car once. I was meant to get in the car parked in front for a lift from my friend. I got in the wrong car, looked to my left, and it was someone I didn't have a clue who it was. Some people go looking for their pens and stuff, but they're behind their ears or in their mouths. Do you do that one? Yeah, losing your phone.
I did start driving back from Barry, wondering where my keys were. It wasn't until I pulled over and turned off the ignition that I realised they were there.
Yes, in the car. Other people get embarrassed by the way they look. We obsess, do we weigh too much or we don't weigh at all? What about our teeth and all our hair and all that stuff? People feel embarrassed at times. Now, children, I want you to draw a picture of a person. That'll do for now. Just to put a picture of a person. Now, more serious question as we're getting closer. Have you ever had moments of shame, not just embarrassment, but shame that you wouldn't want anybody else to know about? There's that song, wasn't there? Was it Bob Marley and then the Fugees? I felt he found my letters and read each one aloud. Do you know that song? The shame of someone knowing something about you didn't want them to know. Even as a Christian, I've had moments of shamefulness. Probably more, actually, after becoming a Christian than before. Because now I carry the name of Jesus around with me. I'm a Christian, Christ. And so I've often let myself down. But more than that, I've often let God down. I don't know if you feel that about you. I certainly have. But what do we do if we've got shame? Things that we can't even talk to people in church about. There's loads of that in church and in the valley. Or maybe some people here have never felt shame. And maybe you should. Because sometimes God makes us feel ashamed and it's the beginning of something amazing. It's called conviction. And then we confess our shame or maybe things we've done wrong to other people that we're ashamed of, or things we've done wrong to God. Right. Next question. Have you ever been made to feel ashamed by others unfairly? Have other people bullied you in school or something, children, and made you feel ashamed about something about yourself unfairly? Any yeses to that one? Yes, some yeses. Right. So, how does Jesus this morning help us with our shame? Whether it's self-inflicted or we've been excluded or it's so private We can't even tell our best friends about it. Now, Mark 15. Now, let me set the scene. Who would you not want to make a movie about Jesus and his death? Probably Mark. Because there's no drama. Like, I like documentaries when... I just like facts. I wish documentaries would just be texts of facts, but people wouldn't be interested in. But I'd like it. When people reenact stuff, I get bored because it always looks cheesy and I don't care about this documentary anymore. I would like Mark to make a film about Jesus. There's no drama. Verse 24 of Mark 15. Nathan, have you got it there?
Yeah.
Go on, read it. Oh, no, I've given you the wrong word. No, I haven't. Yeah, go on, verse 24. Right, here's Mark's account. And they crucified him. Oh. Matter of fact, Mark. Why isn't there more? There is a bit more. But in a nutshell, he gets to the pinnacle and goes, oh, and they crucified him. That's interesting. Why? Is it because he doesn't want us to feel sorry for Jesus being beaten up? There is, we should, but maybe Mark wants us to feel, to get a different message. So, children, draw a crowd around the man that you've drawn. Lots of people. Did you know that on the cross, sometimes it was so brutal and painful, they had to break your legs, and that was a luxury because you died quicker. That's what the Romans thought. It's a luxury if we break people's legs. Some of the Roman soldiers even spoke out. They got the politicians to say, we've got to stop crucifying people. It's too barbaric. It's horrific. It's hideous. And but there's none of that with Mark, which is interesting. And they crucified him. Who made the film The Passion? Mel Gibson, yeah. That was about a man being beaten up. And it's pretty brutal. And you do feel sorry for him. But Mark didn't direct that film. Mark's film, right, let's get to the main bit. Oh, and they crucified him. Roll credits. Well, there's a bit more and then roll credits. Why? I think it's not so we feel sorry that Jesus got beaten up, but we grasp that he was suffering in a different way. He was suffering from being beaten up, but Mark wants us to grasp. I think Mark is deeply sensitive. You can disagree with me, Angie, on Wednesday when we always argue about theology. But I think Mark was quite sensitive. And now, we're going to read the passage again. I'm going to rifle through it. And here's what I want you to do. Think about things that causes shame to Jesus. Shame. Not physical beatings, but shame. And when something pops up, you go, ding. And I'll ask you what it is, and we'll see if you're right. Okay? So let me set the scene again. He's about to be crucified. There are soldiers there. There could have been up to 600 of them in that praetorium that Courtney read about. It's not banter. It's not fun. They're about to kill him. They're at the place called the Scalp or the Bald Head, a little mountain. And they've stripped him naked. Now, let's read the passage again. Where did you read from, Courtney? What did I tell you to read? 16 to 32, was it? Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison, maybe 600 people. Any dings? I think a large crowd often increases people's sense of shame. More people are there to see it. Boys, draw a big crowd around your man. And they clothed him with purple. And they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they began to salute him, saying, Hail, the King of the Jews. There's a ding. What is it? Mockery? Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. That wouldn't physically hurt. It would cause him shame. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him. That's a ding. And when they mocked him, ding, they took the purple off him and they put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. Then Simon the Cyrenian, the farmer of Alexander and Rufus, was coming out of the country and passing by to bear his cross. No? Yeah. Maybe what? What's that one? Yeah, he looks a bit wimpy. Someone else has to do it. And they brought him to the place, which is translated the place of the skull, and they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. That's a ding in my book. Laughing at him. And when they crucified him, they divided his garment and casted lots for them and determined what every man should take. Ding. Why is that a ding, Johnny? He's naked, but not only that, what are they doing? Gambling over his stuff. The third hour they crucified him. Verse 25 again. And the inscription was, the King of the Jews. Yes. Who dinged?
Me.
Yeah.
Because he really, really was in Bethlehem, and they just something.
Yeah. Off that. Yeah. And they inverted his kinglyship. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. Numbered with the transgressors, yeah? That's what Isaiah says. So the scripture... Oh, yeah, sorry, I jumped ahead. So the scripture is fulfilled, numbers with the transgressors. Ah, 29. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, saying, aha, you destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross. Yeah, more mockery. Likewise, the chief priest mocking with the scribe said, he saved his others. He cannot save himself. That's a ding. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And those who were crucified with him reviled him. 29, verse 29. Those who pass by. Imagine people just passing by. They don't even care. They're just passing by. They've gone from what, their friend's house to another friend's house. I don't know what they're doing. Shopping. Just walking by. They join in. They don't really know who he is. They just join in. Part of the angry mob. Just casting shame. And the word in 29 there in the original is blasphemo. Blasphemo. Which is like four letter unrepeatable words. It's like, if I could say this reverently, you piece of that. You little that. Things we can't even say around the children. That's what they're saying. They're just passing by. The shame. As he heard those things. And then others. Ha, you're going to tear down the temple and raise it up. Start here. Save yourself. These were nobodies. Passers by. On their way home to have their tea and forget all about it. He's nothing to them. And then verse 32. The chief priests are saying. He healed the sick. He can't even heal himself. And then the rapists and murderers join in verse 32. Convicted criminals. Hey, Mr. Messiah, send some salvation my way. Now that's Mark's account. That's not physical torture. That is remarkable rejection. What had Peter done to him previously? One of his best friends. What had they done? What did Peter do to Jesus? Do any of you teenagers remember? They denied him. Multiple times. What did his friends do when he asked them to just watch and pray before this event? Could they? They fell asleep. And then people told lies about him in court. And then you had someone like Pilate who should have stood up for him and he didn't. And then the crowds are there. Interesting, Johnny. Just go back to Mark 14 and just read 51 and 52. Now listen to what Johnny's going to say and ask yourself, why is this in the account? What's that random story doing there? It's basically saying there's a man who'd rather be naked and running through the woods at night than be seen with Jesus. I do not want to be seen with him. I'll take the option of running without my clothes away from people. So I'm not seen with Jesus. So I think what Mark wants us to get is for me to ask you this question this morning. Has there ever been a man treated so much less than he deserves? You think about Jesus like that today. Bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned, he stood. Children, tell me some things Jesus had done. I'll start you off. He made people who couldn't see, see. He gave sight to the blind. What other kind things did Jesus do, Ethan?
He died for us.
He died for people. What did he do before that? He lifted up women when people didn't really like women. He welcomed children. What are the kind things you think Jesus did? Any of the adults think of anything?
He rose
people up from the dead. Raised people up from the dead.
He healed the
lepers. He healed lepers, and how many came back to say thank you, Jesus?
One.
Everybody loved him when he was giving out the goods. But the shame of going back and saying thank you. No, thank you. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Yes, Marcus. Oh, I thought you were breathing to give an answer. Who was it? Joe. Oh. He befriended tax collectors when nobody else liked him. Children, are you one of those people that don't have many friends? Jesus loved hanging around with people who didn't have many friends. He loved doing that. He gave himself fully to 12 undeserving people. Fully to them. He loved people who didn't deserve to be loved. Not really. So again I ask, has there ever been a man treated so much less than he deserves by people who are utterly underneath him and on a patch on him as a person? Like, I'm a pastor, and what you find now is people's view of pastors is much less than it used to be 50 years ago. If I was walking around the streets as a pastor 50 years ago, there'd be a degree of respect. But now it's like, weirdo, there's that weird guy who still believes in like fairies and unicorns and God. And some parents get their children and they pick them up and they walk on the other side of the road when I'm walking there so they don't have to talk to me. And the children go, Mummy, can we go to Orange Church where he does club and comes into our school? And they're like, shut up, don't even look in his direction. Why? Because I'm a pastor. And sometimes my dignity is hurt. Me, Reverend Batstone, best-selling author and all this other stuff. And humble, and then people talk negatively about me in the church, and they do. We're losers to people in this valley. We're freaks. But they're not beneath me. I'm so sinful, and I'm a traitor, and sometimes I have evil motives, and I'm no better than anyone. In fact, I'm probably a lot worse than most people in this valley. But here, he was dignified and honorable. And he was ridiculed by people who should be bowing their knee to him as master. And remember what Mark's doing here. Does he want us to feel sorry for his beating? No, because he would have gored it up. He would have made it bloody and brutal. Because I think he wants us to know Jesus experienced shame. Real shame. Shame inflicted upon him by others. And he took on people's shame when they've mistreated people badly and they've shamefully mistreated Jesus and not lived the way he wanted them to live. He took that on him as well. And even today, if you're not a Christian, it's shameful that you're not. And it's shameful that this country doesn't love Jesus. But he took that sin of his people on himself. He experiences it all. So children, your pictures should be people being nasty to the person in the middle. And scowling at them. And telling him off. And making fun of him. And why? What is the point as we close? It's for people in this room who realize life isn't easy. We have to carry our own shame. Sometimes people make fun of us and bully us, and we look at Jesus and we see one who was crucified outside of the city, lay alone on the place of the skull by himself. And we also can learn that he forgives people who have caused shame to him and other people. That's why he was dying, to experience shame. So when we go through shame, we can say, yes, Jesus understands what I'm going through. I can tell him all about my deepest shame that I can't tell anyone else. And he severs the root of shame and sin and being outside of God. He deals with that on the cross. And he gave his life for nobodies whose status is forgotten or stripped away by people like me. Nobodies, sinful nobodies who mistreat others and sometimes be mistreated. There he died for us. Not because he was brutally battered and beaten, we're forgiven. It's because of who he is and how much our living God loves lost people who know shame. He dies and he is now what we call a sympathetic high priest. He knows what I'm going through. He knows all about shame. And together this morning we say, Our Father, you know us. You know our condition. And we worship you and cast our cares on you. Deal with us. Meet us each day, the living, amazing God. I've been mistreated or I've sinned. I'm telling you all about it. And Jesus is like, yep, I know what you're going through. Tell us all about it. And I close with this. In Hebrews 12, it says, Jesus despised shame. Oh, he hated it. He despises that. And he wants it gone from planet Earth. And he wants it gone from your life as well. And when he's being shamed, it says he endures it and he goes through it. Why? For the joy that's coming after the shame. And what's the joy? He's going to purchase the church. So the church can be rid of shame and sin and embarrassment too. And we can fall deeply in love with the living God. So from the youngest to the oldest, don't forget that Jesus knows all about shame. And you can tell him all about it this morning. He's the greatest man who's God that ever walked planet Earth. And he's risen now and exalted. And we say, Our Father, you know, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So I hope you have a lovely day with sins forgiven, enjoying what God has given you today, all because of the crucified Savior for shameful people. For his name's sake, amen.